Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
Each week, we spend some time catching up, share a recommendation of something we've loved recently, and then go on to talk about a topic that we think is really important to the things that are going on right now. These are often quite big topics, but the sort of things that whilst a lot of people might be thinking about, not everyone is actually discussing. So we want to open up that conversation, and we would love to hear from you too. So don't forget to get in touch with the contact details in the show notes. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Oh my god, what, it feels like so long since we last recorded. I can't even think.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, it feels like it's been ages. I guess, oh, it's when my parents were here. So my parents were here for a bit longer and then they left and we went to Dubrovnik over the weekend, which was really, really nice. We also went to Montenegro for a day. So we did like a reverse of the trip that me and you did 5 years ago.
I can't believe that was that long ago.
I know. The memory popped up on my phone when I was looking for locations in Dubrovnik. It was like, you visited here 5 years ago. It's crazy. So crazy. And we drove into Montenegro. So we went to Bosnia a couple of weeks ago. And then we drove into Montenegro this weekend. And Taylor was like, I cannot believe you and Charlotte drove here. It's like, it's horrendous. the driving is terrifying. For some reason, you cross the border and all road rules are out of the window. And it did quite surprise me, especially having got used to driving in Croatia now. It amazes me that we drove there for like a week 5 years ago.
And I hadn't driven in so long. I wonder, I found it quite stressful.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It makes me think of, for anyone who's trying to understand, you know, when you do your theory test for your car and there's like for your driving test and there's like people stepping out and you have to like react to stuff and there's people stepping out and there's cars and there's children and there's distractions and that it's literally like that, but on like times 1,000. And there was a massive storm. So yeah, it was all good fun, but
brilliant.
glad to be back at home for a little while now. Well, I say home as in split home. But yeah, what have you been up to?
Not a lot, but Saturday night was Eurovision. So I caught up with one of our friends and we had a very low-key Eurovision party. And it was just lovely. Like, I love Eurovision. Like, it's one of my favourite nights of the year. It's just full of cheesiness. Some good music. It's a lovely feeling of everyone coming together. And I think this year in particular was just so lovely. I mean, it wiped me out because I stayed up till 1 a.m, which is just not something I do. And so I had to nap on Sunday afternoon. But it was really lovely. And it was so cool to see the UK do so well. I think in any other year we would have won it. But I think, like, rightly so that Ukraine won. Like, it was just lovely to see. Like, it was a really, made me feel quite emotional. But yeah, we just did that and it was just nice to, it's something that we've wanted to do for a few years. And then obviously everything that happened meant that we couldn't do it last year or the year before, so to actually finally get together for Eurovision was lovely. And it was very impromptu, like we decided on the Friday morning, so it was just quite nice to, like,
oh, I love that,
get together, do something nice, drink some Whispering Angel and eat some good food. So yeah, and now I'm just on the countdown to my birthday.
It's very exciting this week. I won't say the age. Are we at the age where we don't say the age?
Oh, I have no issue with this. I find it really weird when people get really, like, funny about their age, because I just think aging is a privilege. And, like, this is a bit deep, but I'm happier at nearly 28 than I was at 18. So,
oh, I agree. But so many people, like, I would never reveal someone else's age because they might. Yeah, I don't feel like it's my place to reveal someone else's age. I'm personally not bothered, but
I wouldn't reveal someone else's because I think, A, I never really remember anyone else's age, but B, I do know some people who are very, like, cloak and dagger about their age. But I don't care. Like, yeah, go for it. I'm turning 28. I'm really excited.
Woo!
Also, it's that weird age where it's the first time that I've hit the age that one of my parents was when they had me. So it's like very weird to think that my dad had me at 28 and I'm just like nowhere near that point in my life.
Oh my God, I hadn't even thought about that. My parents were 29. Weird. I'm 29, so that'll be me next year. Oh,
it's very bizarre. Like, to think my dad was pretty much just 28 when he had me, and I'm like, that is mad because that's just not even anywhere near where I am in my life. Like, so
yeah, that is a weird thought, isn't it?
The 90s were a different time. I mean, it's not like 28 is like exceptionally young to have a kid, but I just find it feels very young to me right now. It's just where I am.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to share your recommendation this week?
Yeah, so I have a TV show this week, and I've just discovered it's actually like 4 years old, but I'd never heard of it before, and it'd never come up on my Netflix before, but it's called 7 Days Out. And the premise of this show is that it's a documentary series that focuses on some of the world's biggest events and the 7 days leading up to it. So you see the last minute preparations, the things that go on backstage, like all of that sort of thing. There's 7 episodes in the series. So we've watched the Westminster Dog Show. We watched League of Legends, which was actually really interesting because I knew nothing about esports, but it was really interesting to like see how huge that industry is. And then obviously, unsurprisingly, my favorite was the Chanel Couture Show, which was just brilliant. But it's just been a really interesting thing to watch, right? Very different to anything either of us have watched before. Interesting to find out about industries and events that we would never necessarily go to or engage with normally, and just get an insight of the behind the scenes. Like, especially the Chanel one, it was amazing. Like, the level of detail, the work that goes into these pieces is just phenomenal. And like, to see Karl Lagerfeld working was just really interesting. But all of them have been really interesting. Even the episodes we've been a bit like, oh, okay, we're not sure. That doesn't necessarily feel very us, have actually been really fascinating.
I've never heard of it, but that does sound really interesting. That's the kind of easy watching thing that I would stick on a, yeah, an evening or a weekend.
Yes, it's perfect for that. Like, we want something, like, we love watching a documentary, but especially after a long day, sometimes you kind of don't have the brain capacity for it. Whereas this is quite engaging. You're learning something new. It's different, but it isn't like too intense for a weekday night. It's just the perfect thing to like settle down and watch on a weekday. But it's actually really interesting, engaging too. But I didn't realize it came out in 2018, which makes me think there isn't going to ever be another series, which is quite sad because it's a really good show.
Oh, that is a shame. Okay, I'm gonna have to look that up. I feel like Taylor would really love that kind of show as well, so we'll have to give it a watch.
The Westminster Dog Show is really cute. There are just so many dogs, and all of the dogs are very like, what's the word? Not expressionless, expressionful. That's not a word.
Expressive.
Thank you. That's what. So you kind of look at them and you can almost like see what they're all thinking, and it really entertained us.
I love that. Okay, dogs. I'm watching it.
What's your recommendation?
Mine is also a TV show, but it's a little bit different. It's the latest Marvel series on Disney Plus called Moon Knight. Very different from all of the other Marvel series. It follows this guy, Stephen Grant, and he's just this regular guy that lives in London. But he keeps blacking out and having these flashes of another life. He like sleepwalks and stuff and sets up all of these like traps in his apartment to try and stop himself leaving the house, because he'd just wake up like having done, he had no idea what, the next day. And he learns that he has this dissociative identity disorder, and his other personality is a mercenary who's been given like powers by this ancient Egyptian god, basically. And so it's just very different from any Marvel. Like, I kept forgetting that I was watching a Marvel series. It didn't feel like it, but I love The Mummy and the whole series around Egypt. And yeah, so I really enjoyed that kind of supernatural, like mythology kind of element with the Egyptian gods. I totally get that it's not up everyone's street, but I really like this direction of the series. I think because it was so different, it had zero expectations and it was really different, but I really enjoyed it.
I I haven't actually watched any of that yet. We haven't even started it. And normally we're like the first to watch everything as it comes out. And it just didn't really appeal, but you've made it sound a lot more interesting than the trailer did, if I'm honest.
It is really different. And I definitely think it isn't up everyone's street. I just know because I really like that Egyptian mythology element that I kind of gave it the benefit of the doubt. And then the last two or three episodes, things like really fell into place. I mean, it's weird as heck, like so weird. But the way the storyline kind of developed, like it made me really emotional. Like I actually got quite upset in some bits because there was a real, like, it's a really strong, really, I don't want to say like well-developed, but I think there was a really interesting emotional element in it that I didn't expect from this, a series that's very like supernatural and obviously like suspend your belief type of thing. So yeah, if you are a Marvel fan or you fancy watching something a bit different, I recommend.
I love it. Well, we have it on the list because I think we need to see it before we see the next Doctor Strange movie. So we have got it on the list to watch. So maybe we'll just bump it up a little bit.
I still need to go and see the Doctor Strange movie as well. Hopefully. We actually went to the cinema yesterday to check if the films are in English so we could go and watch them next week. They've got subtitles on. So hopefully we'll go to the cinema and see it next week.
I feel like this week's topic is one where we're going to have to take note and listen to it ourselves, because we are both very guilty of feeling guilty about doing nothing. But especially now life is quote unquote back to normal and we're all so busy, the importance of doing nothing just seems to be growing. Like taking that time to just sit on the sofa, to relax, to recharge, to not have any commitment to anyone or anything. It's so important to give ourselves that break, but it's difficult when you are naturally a very, you're a real perfectionist, or you're someone who does like to be busy and productive and is a bit of a type A personality, because it really goes against like your core values to sit around and do nothing. But we want to have a bit of a conversation about it this week and essentially the steps we've started to take to lean into doing nothing, because giving yourself that headspace just to think and to process is so important. And I think generally it does help to keep you that bit calmer and a bit more in the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the guilt around doing nothing really feel is something that if you're a personality like a perfectionist or you're very high performing or maybe even like a bit of a people pleaser, I think there's a lot of personalities who are very prone to putting themselves last and then as a consequence feel really guilty when they quote do nothing. And I think it's not the pressure to be doing something or to be seen to be doing something, but I think it's more the guilt, or I know for me anyway, it's more the guilt around not being like quote productive.
Yeah.
And I do agree that especially since the pressure's there more because we are like things are getting back to normal, but also I think those lines got blurred so much during COVID where we were working at home but also living at home, that then the differentiation between rest and work became really hard, and then you felt guilty for doing nothing. So I think reestablishing those boundaries as we do return to normal, it is going to be a really important part of the process of making sure you are actually taking time for yourself and not feeling guilty about it.
I agree. And I think we're part of that girl boss generation where we've been told that you can be everything and do everything and you should always be hustling, and we've spoken about that before. And I think the girl boss ideal has started to be dismantled in the last few years, but instead it's almost been replaced by quote unquote that girl. And that girl gets up at 5 a.m. and makes her bed and has a green juice and does a workout and then comes home and showers and then is in the office by 8 a.m. and drinks her iced latte and then is in bed by 9 p.m. having meditated and food prepped for the next week. And I think that is a brilliant thing to aspire to. Like, yes, all of those things are really healthy habits, But it feels a little bit like we've dressed up girl bossing in another outfit and changed the name. But fundamentally, it's still that, that there's still no time for rest within that.
I was going to say, it's a persona, isn't it? And it's still...
Yeah. It's like that girl might not be, might have a better balance in terms of how she works. And she might be focusing on herself and her self-growth more, which is really important, but she still isn't taking any time to rest and do nothing. And it's like we've kind of shifted gears, but not fully.
Also, all of those things that that girl is doing in a day, is she really doing them all in those hours? Because it's still, I feel like that's still perpetuating this whole hustle culture. Like, you must always be on, you must always be actively doing something, whether it's for someone around you, whether it's for work, whether it's for your relationships. Like, I think both of those personas, whether you're looking at girl boss or whether you're looking at that girl, it's this idea that you always have to be doing something. And I think that's what's harmful, because it just is, again, perpetuating the guilt that you're not doing enough. You're not drinking enough green juices. You're not working hard enough. You're not taking enough time to work on your mind. Like, yes, all of these things are important kind of in moderation, but there still needs to be the time to actually take a break. And resting does look different for everyone, but fundamentally, actually resting is so important for your growth and creativity. And ultimately, it's going to make your lifestyle more sustainable, whatever your lifestyle is, whether it is more girl boss or that girl, or whatever lifestyle you lead, rest is what's going to make it more sustainable, so you can fuel your future growth.
Yeah, totally. And rest is so important. Like, I think every single day we're getting a new article or piece of research that says sleeping and resting are critical for us to live long and healthy lives and to allow our bodies to recover and our minds to recover. And yet, even though we're getting more and more research saying we should rest, it's still so difficult to sit down and not do anything. And all the time we say, okay, today we're going to do nothing, but then we sit down and we feel guilty about doing nothing. You're not really resting and doing nothing, because you're going through the motions of feeling guilty and comparing yourself and giving yourself a hard time. Whereas actual rest and relaxation requires you not to do those things, because that's toxic in itself.
I think a big part of that is that, like, the world has made productivity so accessible. Like, we feel there's the association of doing nothing with being lazy or selfish. So then that becomes perpetuated by the fact that if you're sitting on the sofa and having a rest, but your phone or your laptop is right next to you, so you can just log in and do that bit of work or get that task done or tick off that thing on your to-do list or write that article or whatever it is that you've got on your mind that you think you want to do. We've made it so accessible to us on our devices that we almost think then we don't have an excuse to not do it. But I would say, like, real rest, like actual rest, is not lazy, because it's still an active choice to allow yourself time to kind of, I don't say regenerate, it sounds like Doctor Who. But it is an active choice to give yourself that space to grow and to take that time off and to give yourself a bit more brain capacity. Like, it's not like resting is doing nothing. It is still an essential part of building your lifestyle.
I think as well, it's quite difficult because we grew up seeing people working constantly. Like, we were the generation, like, do you remember watching American movies and American TV shows, and they would have their Blackberries or their Sidekicks? And like, they could be constantly contacted. Now, I know I'm definitely guilty of looking at movies like The Devil Wears Prada and glamorizing that lifestyle, when actually in reality it's completely toxic. And looking at someone like Meredith Blake in The Parent Trap and being like, oh my God, I want to be her. And all of these iconic moments in pop culture history we've looked at and kind of aspired to subconsciously. Like, I'm not saying any of us done this like necessarily consciously, so we almost don't have that example of what it looks like to be a successful person who also takes time to rest and relax and enjoy themselves, and also enjoy, like, also enjoy their time and their wealth and everything else. Like, we see the hustle culture of being successful and wealthy. We don't see the flip side where we enjoy that. And I think there's a real risk that because we can be productive, quote unquote, so easily nowadays, it's very easy to then think, well, I'm not quite successful enough to enjoy it yet. And therefore you delay the enjoyment of resting and making the most of that time, when actually that's the thing that will probably really help you to refresh you and put you in a better mindset.
I think there's like two really interesting parts of that. One, like being successful enough, like we've spoken about this before, but success looks so different for everyone. And yet we've got this idealized idea of success, probably from the movies, from pop culture, from this hustle culture, always on kind of lifestyle, where we think that the only way to be successful is to work 80 hours a week and have our phone permanently attached to our hand. Mm-hmm. But then I guess, even though this, we're talking about like the internalized guilt of resting, I guess maybe then like a huge part of that is the external pressure to be seen to be doing what is deemed successful. So, I mean, I am seeing it more and more, people sharing that they are taking a rest, and there is obviously more discussion about it happening online now. I see it a lot more, especially on LinkedIn. I feel like that's a place where it's really, the conversation has changed a lot more.
Yeah.
But there is still a lot of that pressure to, I guess, work a certain amount a week, or, I don't know, be self-sacrificing in order to be successful. Yeah. And as a consequence, that makes you more productive and leads to more growth and more success, and you achieve more. And I don't think being self-sacrificing, like, that it's just, ultimately it's going to lead to an empty tank, isn't it? You'll be completely depleted, and you're still denying yourself the rest that you need just because you want to be seen to be successful.
We also seem to have this real focus still on showing up culture and presenteeism, and actually I think realizing that efficiency and effectiveness are more important than just being present is so key, because we kind of focus on, okay, you should do a 40-hour week, but what if you can focus and get everything done in 30 or 35 hours? Why shouldn't you use those 5 hours for rest? Like, I'm not saying take a nap in the middle of the working day, but, you know, we still look through the lens of you have to do certain things that certain times, whereas actually, even if it's things like making it more efficient the way you do your food shop, or you get more stuff delivered so you don't have to keep popping out to the shops, whatever it is, and it frees up time, we forget to focus on how efficiently we're doing something. And so we have to constantly be busy and doing something, and we're so busy, everyone is so busy, like, but do we actually need to be busy? And I feel like we don't ask ourselves that enough, because we don't value the time of doing nothing. So it's not that resting and doing nothing is something that we should try to focus more energy on. It's something that comes very last in the list. So we don't consider making things more efficient and approaching things in different ways so that we can achieve our results quicker, because we're not like, the ultimate outcome of having time to rest and do nothing just isn't a priority.
Yeah, I think that very traditional style of working, like a 40-hour week or whatever it is, plays into that whole presenteeism. Yeah. And I think while a lot of companies got better with that during COVID, there's still a long way to go, because it's more of a mindset, isn't it? It's a very like traditional outlook on how your work should fit into your lifestyle. But then we've given this whole, because I totally agree that there's this whole, I don't know, need to be busy all the time. We should always be doing something and look busy or be busy or appear to be busy, whatever it might be. And then now we've created FOMO as a justification for that. Like, oh, you don't want to miss out, so you've got to be busy. You've got to always be doing stuff. And we've labeled it with this kind of like funny acronym that everyone can enjoy and use, and made it seem like it's something that, oh yeah, you don't want to get FOMO, No, definitely don't get FOMO. So make sure you book out your entire life. Like, it's not, we've made it into this funny kind of thing, but it's not funny. Like, not taking time for you. Sometimes you need to miss out. Like,
yeah.
There's, what's the opposite? There's now this, what's the new term that's like the opposite of FOMO?
Joy of missing out. JOMO?
Yeah. I saw that a couple of weeks ago and I thought, God, I can really... I reached that point too late in, I should have taken rest like a week or two earlier. And then I get to the point where I'm like, okay, I actually want to block out my diary. I need to take the rest. And I look forward to it. And yes, that's a good thing because then I do eventually take the rest, but I still think there's the space for me to be blocking that into my diary, into my schedule earlier than I do before it gets to a point where I'm actually just burnt out.
Yeah. One thing I've really tried to start doing is make sure at least one weekend a month I have no plans, and I keep that like completely sacred. So maybe it's like, we'll just do whatever we fancy. So we might go for a walk, we might pop into town. It doesn't mean that we won't do anything, but it just means there's no commitment. And the same with evenings in the week, like having a couple of evenings in the week where I am just going to work and coming home, and then there's no expectation. Like, if I fancy it, I might go to the gym, or I might like do a bit of cleaning or something like that, but there's no pressure to, and there's no commitment in advance for me to do anything. And I've definitely found that that's helped me find a bit more balance and start to move away from the idea that rest equals laziness. Because if you were actually a lazy person, you wouldn't worry about these things. Like, because you want to be productive and you have that work ethic and that desire to keep moving forward, you're never going to fall into a trap where you do nothing. But actually, resting allows you to refuel so you can do those things more effectively. And I think almost like facing fear, as it were, which sounds very extreme, I know, of doing nothing and having those weekends where I have no plans, or those weekdays where I go, no, do you know what? I'm not going to go for a glass of wine tonight, means that I've realized that the world doesn't stop spinning if I rest, but I feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think if you have that self-awareness of like being productive, yeah, I totally agree. You're not actually ever going to be lazy. But I think a big part of resting and having that time is people, like you said, facing the fear of spending time on their own with their own thoughts and with their own mind. And we did an episode on spending time, like learning to be alone. If you want to go back and listen to that one, it was a couple of weeks ago. But on that topic, I think it's important to say that rest looks different for everyone. It doesn't have to mean that you're sitting on the sofa watching TV. Although if that's what you want to do, you can do that. But it could be going out walking, going on a hike, it could be going to the gym, it could be just cooking your favorite meal at home, it could be sitting out in the garden with a book. Like, there's so many different things, and I think finding what is restorative for you, it doesn't have to mean sitting on the sofa with your own thoughts for a whole day. Like, that's, no one really wants to do that anyway. I think finding what rest looks like for you is the most important. Like, I now know for me that spending time outdoors is great rest for me, whether it is just sitting outside or whether it is going on a walk in nature. And that's what I enjoy. For some people, it will be spending an hour or two at the gym and really like de-stressing that way. But
yeah,
I think that's the really key thing, to find what form of rest works for you.
I think another really great one that I started doing it when I came to see you actually, is turning off all of my phone notifications. So it's set up so like if a member of my family desperately needs to get hold of me, they will be able to. But actually, most of the messages I get, people can wait. And actually not being accountable to other people is something that's so restorative. And that combined with an early night and eating my vegetables and maybe doing some gentle exercise is actually the best thing ever. And it isn't sitting on the sofa doing nothing, although sometimes that is exactly what I want. Sometimes I want to sit in bed watching Selling Sunset on a Sunday afternoon, and it's very lovely. But it's finding there's a way to rest that is also restorative rather than just doing nothing. And I think when you experiment with different things and work out what that is for you, you then look forward to that rest more and you feel less guilty.
Yeah, and I think that's the, like, it needs to be an active decision. Like you were saying about blocking out a weekend, a month, and I will usually, in a usual week, and I know when I've not been doing it because I can really feel the difference, but like a couple of evenings a week, I will do exactly that. Phone is on silent, laptop notifications are turned off, and we watch a movie together or whatever TV show we're currently watching at the moment. And that to me is really great time where my brain can actually switch off from thinking about work stuff. But I've made the active decision to do those things, to turn off notifications, to block out those evenings in my diary. And I think that's the way when you really, you feel the benefits of rest, because you made the active decision to just switch off and create that space for yourself. I think it's really important to recognize that you need to create that space in your schedule, whether that is time blocking or whether it is saying to your partner or your family, okay, we're going to take this evening a week to do this, however that looks for you.
And it means that then you actually get the benefits of rest, and that's what's so important. Like, it's fine to be that girl and wake up early and work out and drink the green smoothie and work hard, but you can't be that girl for very long if you're not also working out how you rest and recover from that, because we all need it.
And if you want to have that lifestyle and do that and get up at 5 a.m. and all that jazz, that's fine, but make sure you are building time into that schedule to rest still. Like, you can build whatever lifestyle you want to, but that, if you want to work an 80-hour week, you can, but where's the space for the rest in that?
I think you can't do that forever.
Regardless of what lifestyle you want to have, building rest into it is really fundamental if you want to sustain it.
Agreed. We hope that you found this episode helpful, and maybe it's inspired you to make some time to actually properly rest in the next coming weeks. As ever, we would love to hear your thoughts, so please don't forget to get in touch on the details that are in the show notes, and hit subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on so that you stay up to date with our next episode. In the meantime, we hope you have a great week, and we will speak to you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.